This is the Carlton Podcast. Here's your host, Tony Moclair.
Hello and welcome to the Carlton Podcast. It is episode 4. My name's Tony Moclair. I must apologise on behalf of Mitch Robertson, who can't be here. He's caught up being a new dad. Chance Robertson was born last week, and if you've often gone to the footy and complained that Robbo doesn't do any heavy lifting, those complaints are no longer valid. Chance weighs 9 pounds. Holy hell. So good luck. We're delighted to welcome Chance to the world. Emma gave birth to Chance last Thursday, and mother and child both doing well. Filling in for Robbo this week, Dylan Buckley, NAB Rising Star nominee. Hi, Dylan.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
And David Ellard, a man who bagged 2 last week. That was very exciting to see.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. It's been a long time coming. I've been looking forward to getting on this thing. Joining the show.
Well, that's what you have to do to secure a place at the table of the Carlton Podcast. You've got to bag 2 goals in a 81-point drubbing. Dylan, it was your first game after the week before the Essendon game. You'd had an absolutely sensational game. That was very exciting to see. Tell me your thoughts on the Essendon game. I'll start with you firstly. 81 points, it was a very, very disappointing game. There's no shying away from that. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, obviously, like you said, very disappointing loss. We went into the game with a lot of confidence. By the way, we finished off the game against Richmond, so there was no doubt we expected a lot better from ourselves. And it just shows that you can't go into a game these days just thinking things are going to happen. You just got to get there and have a four-quarter effort. And obviously, we didn't put that together, but we're very keen to get out this week against Melbourne and hopefully prove the critics wrong.
David, what happened as far as you saw out there?
Yeah, we obviously went out with a certain style of the way we were expected to play. And then what we did out there, we didn't produce that standard that we expect from each other, and which resulted in the drumming that we got. So, we've had a very positive week on the track. We had a great training session today. Being a 6-day turnaround was probably one of the only positives you can take out of that is that we can bounce back pretty quickly, and this week it's very important that we go out and execute everything that we've been talking about this week.
Dylan, first goal didn't come till deep into the second quarter. What broke down?
You probably can't put it down to one single thing. I think we spoke about a few things post-game, and it was probably just the mindset going into the game. We probably just thought that, you know, we'd rely on few too many just to do that, to start us off. And I think, yeah, we just couldn't get ourselves on the board. Obviously, kicking, I think, 3 points in the first quarter.
Mm. And they were gettable. At least 2 of those were, you know, set shots, and they were easily gettable.
Yeah, so I think that going forward, the forward line know, and that's not just the forward line, everyone, that those misses are very critical, and we found that in the last 2 weeks that we just need to get better at cementing those opportunities.
From a personal point of view, you had that great game against Richmond. Did you expect more pressure on yourself? Did you expect to be noticed by Essendon and for them to try to kind of shut you down or stifle your influence?
No, not really. I obviously down the back line play with some pretty talented players, so I think they're definitely ahead of me in that sort of regard. There was sort of Chris Yaron and Zach Tui and Cade Simpson, so I think they had enough to worry about down there. But, I just was really happy just to get another opportunity and to play on the big stage.
David, the leadership group convened a players' meeting after the game. I think Mick announced that in the press conference. That's how quickly it had been decided that it was going to happen. What came out of that?
Yeah, it was just an opportunity where Mick left it up to the players to talk about, you know, what went wrong and what's not working for us. Obviously behind closed doors with no coaches, regularly. But we just had a bit of a chat about, you know, what we expect from each other, the way we want to be seen going forward, and you know what didn't work for that night and why it didn't work and why things are happening. and keep happening, and patterns and that sort of stuff. So it was, yeah, it was no sort of heart to heart or anything, you know, too deep. It was just a stock standard sort of meeting between players where we had sort of an open forum so everyone could speak up and have their input and sort of, you know, and I thought it was a great benefit for us. And yeah, looking forward to seeing some of the things we've put in place as players this week going forward.
What did you get out of it, Bucks? The players meeting?
The players meeting, yeah, I thought it was great. It was called, obviously, by the skipper and Mark Murphy. And like Dave said, there was a few home truths. And everyone spoke up and did field their opinion on the game. And obviously, it just let everyone know on an open playing field that what is expected. And it doesn't matter who you are, how many games you've played. When you're out on the oval, there is a certain criteria that you need to meet, and if you're not going to meet it, then you're not going to play.
Can I run this by you just as a supporter? This is what I saw the other night. Menzel kicked across the face of Essendon's goal. The ball was intercepted. Essendon convert from what I would think is a pretty basic error. The ball goes back to the centre. Jammer comes up to Menzel and effectively pats him on the arse and says, "Don't worry, mate, it's okay." Now, he's in the leadership group. I want somebody in a leadership group to either give him a spray or just say not acceptable or just basically lead and just don't, you know, almost kind of make sure his feelings aren't hurt by a pretty basic error. Am I unreasonable in expecting that?
No, it was definitely something we brought up in our defensive meeting. We spoke about being a lot more demanding on each other and instead of sort of always taking not the easy option in comforting one another, but now we know what we need to do, we know what's expected, and we want, you know, we've asked to if we are in that situation, to become down earlier, because if you are clear and precise with the directions, then you 9 times out of 10 you're not going to make that mistake again.
A lot of that still happens, you know, like there's a lot of feedback given on game day that, you know, that isn't positive, when, you know, it's a, you know, heat of the moment. Things don't quite work and that sort of stuff, and you do get feedback from, you know, some of our great leaders like Murph and Caruso and those sort of those types, so it does happen. But I think sometimes with a young player or something like that misses a kick, going for a kick that, you know, that maybe, you know, it was just a bad decision, but you know, it's sometimes it's a fine balance between, you know, spraying him, because you don't want him to go into his shell for the next kick, you know, if he kicks there, you want him to keep going at it, you know. So I think it's a fine balance, but yeah, it does happen out there.
Dave, in the 43 games that you've played, where does this loss rank? Does this one hurt more than any? Is it the worst? Is it?
Yeah.
How does it?
This one's been the biggest loss and the most hurtful loss I've been a part of since I've been at the club. You know, it's embarrassing. You know, the next day when you wake up, you know, like a lot of boys were saying, like, and it happens, you know, like you normally call into your local coffee shop on the way to the club, you know, the next day. But, you know, on Monday, Monday, we sort of tend to drive past that. You don't want to stop off or see anyone. This one here has hurt the most since I've been here. And I think that's just because of, you know, the way we played and the way we gave them the win and, you know, a few other parts like that. But I know, you know, a few boys have come out and said the same thing, and it definitely is one of the biggest stingers I've been a part of.
Dylan, Jammo said in the press conference, it's not the game plan, it's how we execute it. Was it Essendon's pressure? I mean, we know that we lost by 81 points, so we're maybe not giving enough credit to how well Essendon prepared for the game. Was it just an intensity you weren't expecting from the first bounce?
Yeah, definitely was. Like, we went into the game knowing Essendon, they are a great outfit, and we knew that they'd be very, put a lot of pressure on us at the footy, but then again, we do see ourselves as a team that can match that, and obviously we didn't show that up on the night, but as far as the game plan goes, all the players are aware of the game plan, but obviously on the night, we probably did go into our shells a bit, and we couldn't execute it to the way we wanted to. So going forward this week, I think we've trained really well, like Dave said, today, and hoping that this week we're going to put out a good effort on the track and hopefully execute that game plan.
How has the training been this week? I mean, Dylan just said you were training well. It's been very wet here. Has that affected your preparation for the game?
No, oh, well, looking towards the forecast on Saturday, it looks like it's going to be, you know, there's a fair chance it might rain as well. So training in the wet conditions today, you know, depending on the weather, but there's a high chance it's going to rain, as I said. But so it's given us a good, you know, lead up going into it. Being a 6-day turnaround, you know, that was our first real session today since the game. So we've just had recovery. It's a bit of a week of just making sure that you get your bodies up, ready to go again. But the training that we did today was only a shorter session than usual, but it was of a high quality and everyone's up and about. And, you know, we're just really, really looking forward to going out and making amends this week and starting to, as I said, put to see, you know, some of the things we've been talking about this week get put into place.
Now, Dylan, of course, kicked a goal with his first kick in AFL. You kicked, and am I right?
Just let him talk about it.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
Oh, well, there's too many to mention. No, your first kick in AFL was a goal. It was very exciting.
Left foot around the boundary.
The number 7 run around for Carlton again. There's a lot of hope invested in that number. That's not what I want to talk about, though. I want to talk about your two majors, David, because that was very exciting to see. Can you tell me about both of them? Tell me how good it felt to be scoring majors.
On the weekend?
Yeah.
I was obviously lucky enough to get on the end of a couple. Hendo gave me one that ran into an open goal. But
The podcast is not a place for modesty. No player ever comes in here and says, I was lucky enough too. Just tell me how brilliant you were.
No. It's that stage of the game, though, we were down by a fair bit. So, the goals were obviously, you know, satisfying to kick, but it would have been a lot better if it put us in front and got us over the line. But it was just one of those things where I was lucky enough to get on the end of a few and kick straight, which is something we need to do more often.
And we can expect that this week against Melbourne.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah.
All right, because there is a bit of pressure. There's people pressing for selection. In the twos, there are some standout players. Patrick Cripps had 34 disposals. Nick Graham at 24. Tom Tomei booted 4 goals. Are these guys going to be sticking their hand up, as they say, for selection on Saturday? Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, definitely. They've done. They've obviously done what they had to do in VFL. VFL had a great win on Saturday. Sunday, wasn't it? So they were down by a bit, and they come home real strong and. Some great efforts by those boys. So they're really putting their hand up, which is great for our senior side as well. You know, it puts pressure on a lot of players' spots this week, and they've done all they can to give themselves a chance. So it's just to see how match committee go this week.
How are you shaping up for Saturday, Dylan? You know, obviously you're going to be taking the field against Melbourne. What are your thoughts going into the game?
Yeah, hoping to. I haven't actually got the final call up yet, so I'm still waiting to find out if I will be playing or not. But I'm just, obviously, if I do play, I'm just really excited and just to make amends and really just want to get my first win in the Navy Blue. So looking forward to that, and I just want to get out there, play my role, obviously, and that's what we spoke about this week, is just playing our role. And it's not about sort of how many touches an individual is getting, it's just sort of doing what the team needs you to do and sort of getting those desire indicators of tackles and spoils and that sort of stuff. And, hoping to do that to the best of my ability.
Have you spoken to your old man about the game against Essendon?
Yeah, I did speak to Dad about that when I got home. He, obviously, playing in that era, they didn't really like Essendon. Dad was pretty disappointed with the loss, obviously.
He doesn't send you to his room or your room, does he? You're not grounded for 2 weeks.
No, he wasn't. But he just said he obviously can't wait till we play him again later on in the year. And I know then there'll be a lot of fire on just to get him back, because obviously they are a rival of ours and we do love playing against them on the big stage. And I know it's a team that when I was growing up, I always wanted Carlton to beat.
And like Melbourne this week, they've had their own, I guess, ups and downs this week. They've been in the media a lot. Last time we played them, we beat them by 61 points. David Allard, what do you think the game will come down to? Who do we need to neutralise? Where will the game be won?
Yeah, look, Melbourne, a contested side, so we've got to make sure that we bring a real contested style of footy this week. They've obviously been the headlines as well, and they'll be looking to make amends for, you know, their poor start to the year as well. So it's going to be a good opportunity for us to, you know, the weather's probably, yeah, as I said, it's going to be wet and it's going to be a, might be a bit of a slogfest early, but yeah, we've just got to go out and make sure that we can control what we can control. And if we do that, then yeah, we'll be in with a fair show.
They are a hoity-toity club, as we know. So when the trainer runs out, is it always French mineral water or champagne? When the how do you find playing against Melbourne normally, Dylan? Well, in your extensive experience,
in all my games against them, yeah. I can't say I remember any of that. Probably I haven't played against them. That's why.
Just to slightly backtrack. So with the players' meeting, is Mick involved in I guess what goes down in that meeting? Does somebody in the leadership group kind of give him the main points that you talked about, or does he basically say, "Listen, it's between you guys. You get your heads right in that meeting, and as far as I'm concerned, I'll concentrate on what I can control." Does it go like that, Dave?
Yeah. Look, Mick come in to the meeting at the end, and you know, I'm sure the leadership groups sat down with Mick and the rest of the coaching staff and gone through all the points that we discussed. So yeah, they're over everything as well. So he will make sure that the things that we spoke about get put in place.
Okay. So I kind of, the part of me that kind of almost, you know, would like to see him come out like Darth Vader and choose one player who he can kind of strangulate through mind control, and that just scares the crap out of everyone else in the playing group. That's probably a bit extreme, because I don't advocate asphyxiation of players for not performing. The AFL probably has some sort of rule against that. I don't know.
Yeah, they probably have something in the book.
Yeah. Your thoughts, can we just briefly touch on Robbo being a dad. Can I just pick your brains on your teammate? Have either of you ever shared a room with him on the road?
Well, I was going to say fortunate, but I was unlucky enough to have Robbo live with me for the first couple of months when he moved over. So,
we've got to have stories then.
You can imagine just Robbo, you know, his first couple of weeks at an AFL club.
Yeah.
He's a pretty up and about character.
Yeah.
You know, being, you know, in a new environment. So he sort of lasted a couple of weeks or a couple of months with myself, and then he decided to move to Eddie Betts's joint down the road, and Eddie came up to me one day and said, "Oh, what's Robbo like to live with?" And I said, "Oh, mate, he's great. He, you know, he cleans up after himself. He cooks. He does everything." So Eddie took him under his wing, and I was wrapped to get him out of the house. And Eddie come back to me a month later and goes, "Man, you've stitched me so bad." So he's a handful, but.
Is that the housemate equivalent of a hospital pass?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So he's a great fella, and he's going to be a great dad. You know, I might settle him down a little bit, and we'll see. But he'll be a great father.
Do we draw no link at all between Robbo living with Eddie Betts and Eddie Betts choosing to leave the club?
It might have had something to do with it, but Robbo moved. Probably to his fifth person to live with after Eddie, so he got shipped on after about a year after living with Eddie to someone else, and I think then they shipped him on somewhere else. So, and then he realised he just had to get a house by himself. So
that's like an FBI witness protection program. Dylan, what were your words of advice for Robbo as a father, and what sort of father do you think he'll make? And I ask that because obviously the lineage you have here at the Carlton Football Club, your dad being a club champion. What do you think it will take for Chance to be...
To have a chance.
Yeah.
Thank you. Beautifully put.
Oh, definitely from experience. In that case, I just hope that Emma's as good as mum as mine was.
Yeah.
That's probably the most guidance I've got from my mum, and sort of the dad's just chip in here and there. So I know Emma will be a great mum, and I'm sure Mitch will learn a few things along the way, and I'm sure he'll be a good dad as well.
Well, she's just doubled the number of children in her house, hasn't
she?
Yeah. I mean that in the most affectionate way, because I do love the man. Growing up with the great Jim, as a like playing kick to kick, would he kind of often forget that he was playing against a small child and go the hard ball? Or was there a set of team rules that you had to obey when you were kicking it?
Yeah, definitely. I think I played more a lot with my friends. By the time Dad finished, he struggled to walk, so
yeah.
he can't. He sort of struggles to get around now, let alone back then. And yeah, he sort of walks on one leg these days. So there wasn't much of that going on, but he was always pushing me into, not pushing me into, but always supporting me with anything I did, whether it was, you know, playing indoor soccer or cricket or footy or basketball. So he was happy either way, as long as I was enjoying myself. And I think that's a good advice for Robbo, because you see, especially in junior sport these days, a lot of dads get carried away and that sort of stuff, and it ends up just turning the kids away from the sport even more than it is.
With that sporting ability that you had then, and you mentioned, you know, what was it, basketball, soccer, footy, what was involved then in your decision to play football professionally, considering I would imagine that you could have gone either way, fishing, or either of three ways?
Well. Put fishing in there as well.
Fisherman. Now, I think, like when I say basketball, soccer, and it doesn't mean I was any good at them.
But oh, okay.
I did like to play them, but
yeah.
I used to get fouled off in basketball in the first sort of 10 minutes.
Why was that? Have you got a temper?
I couldn't accept that you couldn't tackle on basketball. but with the footy, I suppose, obviously growing up, you just go through sort of the ranks, and it sort of sorts the players out who sort of want to go further with and then not. And I suppose there's that certain age where a lot of my mates sort of dropped off and said it probably wasn't for them, but that's when I sort of realised, probably around 15, 16, that's when you know you want to do it for the rest of your life. Not for the rest of your life, obviously, but you want to do it with your life and you know, probably put everything into it to get there.
I noticed when, and I'm pretty sure I've said this on the podcast before, so it is public knowledge. I noticed when I take our 7-year-old to Auskick, there is a fair bit of daylight between him and the kids who are just naturally gifted at AFL. I'd get in there and try just like he does, but I didn't have any natural ability. I mean, that ability to play football kind of announces itself pretty early on, I would imagine. Is that the experience of both of you?
Yeah, I think it does. There's probably the exception to the rule, but from an early age, if you are normally a good player, then and you want to go along with it, you've got a good work ethic, then you will become a good player. But there's a lot of players that I play junior with, one of my best friends who, throughout the ranks, he won every single BNF and every single sort of trophy to win. And unfortunately, it just wasn't him. In the end, he probably wasn't tall enough, or someone that they're not fast enough to end up playing. So there is always the exception to the rule. But naturally, you normally have to have a little bit of talent to sort through that.
David, the Melbourne player, can I just touch on him briefly? What's the Melbourne player who's retired this week? Mitch Clark. I heard Bomber Thompson speak during the week that football clubs aren't, you know, say for all people, say with that kind of mental illness, because of the pressure that goes along with it. What's the trick for surviving in a kind of highly regimented workplace like a football club?
Yeah, it's obviously a tough one, you know, when you've got an illness like that and you're in such a magnified industry that, you know, you're always in the spotlight. There's nowhere to hide, I suppose. It sort of, you know, it makes it real tough to continue on with that career. So, it's obviously sad for Mitch and the Melbourne Footy Club. But for me, it's just all about sort of having a good balance. I sort of make sure on my day off or something like that, I get away from footy completely. Myself and Sam Rowe are doing a bit of carpentry, so we've picked up a few jobs here and there, so we get away and do something like that, so it just takes your mind off footy, and you know, the end of the day we play a game that we love to play. It's heavily scrutinized and but you know, we sign the contracts to allow that, so we have to learn to deal with it. And but it's just it's all about balance and just, you know, making sure that you realise that you are playing a game that, you know, that you've always loved playing, and just to always go back to really why you started playing footy in the first place. I think that's the way you sort of deal with it. And I know, obviously, you know, the more high profile you are and that sort of stuff, it obviously, you know, takes its toll. You know, being you know, in the limelight, but luckily enough for probably Dylan and myself, we don't have to deal with too much of it. So,
well, I think that's a great answer. I'm also worried about you and say you and Sammy Rowe, because you know there's people at this club, and I won't name either Murph or Juddy, who I'm assuming wouldn't be too shy in saying to you, Davey, you're a carpenter, aren't you? You just maybe want to come around to my house and put in some bookshelves for my kids.
Yeah, there's a bit that goes on. So, look, we're more than happy to take.
Is it done at cost, though?
Oh, look, it goes on, I suppose, where they're situated in the club. Some of their quotes go on a little bit.
You should ask Dave who he's been working for the last few weeks and why he might be getting a game at the club.
Please do tell.
I knew this was coming.
Let's hear it.
Look, we've done. Roey and myself have done a little bit of work for Mick's son and Mick's daughter. So we've done a nice little deck out the back of Mick's daughter's joint, and you just got to do what you got to do around here, I suppose.
Both playing great footy in the seniors.
Whatever it takes.
That job was put out to tender, I imagine.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We're just the lucky ones to receive it.
So that's you and Sammy doing that, is it?
Yeah, so Sammy's a fully qualified carpenter.
And he's done a deck here at Visi
Park. Yeah, we knocked up a little barbecue area at the back for all the staff around here to go and enjoy their little Friday Arvo drinks or whatever they have, their little sausage sizzle. So, we've done a little bit of work and, you know, we've done some other stuff, but, it's good fun.
Whatever keeps you in the team, I reckon, whatever keeps you in the team. Now, David Allard, Dylan Buckley, are going to test your knowledge of your teammates now. Mm. This is a quiz that we've done a few times on the podcast, and whoever buzzes in with the first answer will win a nominal $3 billion.
Okay, done.
Okay. We're working on getting a prize, all right? What about a couple of days free labour from David Allard and Sammy Rowe?
Got a few holes to dig.
Yeah, there we go. All right, you'll get a mythical barbecue area made by David Allard. Okay, do you know your teammates, Bucks? And I don't even know your nickname at the club. Do you have one officially?
Yeah, I do.
Is it printable? We're a family show here.
It's a great nickname.
It's called Slugger. Okay. My nickname. So I think
that's good. That's
I'm pretty slow and I like these sort of conditions that we're dealing with outside.
Great. Well, it's a good nickname. All right. Question number one. I made my debut for the Blues in 2008 during Round 10's clash with Geelong.
Yeah.
Who is it? Oh, for God's sake.
He didn't buzz in, though.
That's the second time in a week that...
No, I remember because he told me when I debuted against Geelong, he debuted against Geelong, so he said...
And you remembered that?
He said...
Yeah. There we go.
Okay.
Well, nailed that.
Thank you.
Well done, Dilbert.
Thank you.
This is the lamest quiz in history. It's great on paper. I'm not having a go at the great Madeline McClure, who writes the questions or came up with this fantastic segment. What has happened, though, is twice... We've shot our bolt early, so to speak. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. All right, I'll go through the rest of them and see if you could have got these. All right, Slugger?
Okay.
I'm 181 centimetres tall. I played my 50th game in 2011 and my 100th game in 2013. Raised in WA, I grew up playing another sporting code before making switch to AFL. I celebrate my birthday 3 days before Christmas. Rumour has it I was named after a famous Australian cricketer. There you go.
Yeah, would have got that.
Didn't still got the mo. It's hard to tell with him.
Couple of tattoos would have been a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
So the mo, yeah.
All right. So. Well, look, thank you so much for stepping up today and coming
Thanks
in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And subjecting yourself to an inquisition about last week, but it's we it's draw a line here. Under that. We all take on Melbourne. Here. Looking forward to it and wish both of you the best of luck. And look forward to continued appearances here at the podcast. Mitch Robinson should be back next week. Thank you, Dylan Buckley. Thank you, David Allard. This has been the Carlton Podcast. I've been Tony Moclair. Catch you next week.